Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Locking up the 2 seed is the number one priority, and that and all that does is guarantee us two home playoff games. Again, you gotta win the first one to get the second one. So that's all we're caring about is going out there this week and just trying to play good sound football and our type of brand that we know how we can play.
There is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about what the ultimate goal is for this team this week, which is going to be locking up the 2 seed. They need to just win one of their next 2 games, Jets, and then a trip to Foxborough to take on the Patriots for the second time in 3 weeks. Absolutely despise that, Derek, by the way. Absolutely hate
it. Why is that?
I don't love how we've had to wait literally to December to play a divisional team for the first time. That makes no sense to me.
That is weird. Like, you haven't seen them for the first time all year. Yes. I don't mind the 3 division games to end a year thing.
Oh, no, that I actually prefer. That's great.
But it's also, that part's weird. It was made even more weird when you clinched the division before you saw the last one.
Yeah, and the AFC East was not good this year.
But that's what I think makes it even more weird. That's probably what has it a little unsettling.
Mm-hmm. You never had to play them. You never had to do anything. A big part of it, too, was New England itself was not in competition or in convention.
No, they were already like out of things very early on.
But before you even play them, you're like, dude, this game literally simply doesn't matter outside of like potential playoff seedings. Like,
that's it.
Like, that's all that mattered. And again, and me and Sal were talking about it there when he was just on with us. Like, I'm choosing to take Allen at face value, what he said in the postgame. They're in a weird spot. They don't want to show too much. They know they're in the playoffs. They know they're hosting a playoff game. Now, if they get the 2 seed, there's a good chance they're going to host 2. If Kansas City gets upset, they're going to host 3. But they already kind of know they're getting that home playoff game, and now they just got to win one of these next 2, or Baltimore loses one of these next 2.
Well, no, Baltimore only has 1 left.
That's right. They played yesterday. So they lose week 7 or 18.
But they have to play Cleveland, which is typically a Baltimore win.
And especially now that James Winston's not even playing.
And you have something to play for. Even historically, they are... Their rivalry kind of rivals Buffalo versus Tom Brady.
Yeah.
With how bad it is. So I wouldn't go ahead and like think about anything else other than that. Like, Baltimore has something to play for. The Browns are terrible. Oh, and you always seem to clean out the Browns. So Baltimore is probably going to win out here.
The Browns is just the ugly stepchild of the AFC North. Like, at least Cincinnati's had pretty good years. You know, you go back to like the 70s, 80s,
Cleveland was trending that way. And then they went, no, we like going back to basements.
Yeah, but like everyone in that division's had their run. Maybe not Super Bowl runs, but like have had their runs. Cincinnati, Ken Anderson, even Carson Palmer, but like, currently with Joe Burrow.
2020, Baker.
Yeah.
Baker with Cleveland gives Kansas City a run for their money.
They beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Yeah, soundly.
Yeah.
And then Baker hurts his shoulder. Jimmy Haslam says he wants an adult at quarterback. And then picks the most immature person in the world.
Just insane verbiage. Just insane thing to say.
Yeah.
I'm with Sneaky Joe. I don't know how much he's brought up on air, but we've talked a lot about it off air of this feeling. And Nate Geary's brought it up too. Of the feeling that Jimmy Haslam is just not going to pay Deshaun Watson for 2 years to not play football, that they will go back.
They'll go back to him.
And I just,
oh my God.
How do you sell it to your fan base?
Ready?
How do you sell that?
Ready? Here's how. You trot a raw DTR out there to show people it could actually be worse.
And then everybody's going to go back to the Jameis Winston stats and like, I mean, he threw picks, but it was way better when he was playing.
It was better.
Jerry Jeudy will be like number one leading the charge going, guys, it was way better. I was awesome.
But even Jameis Winston was enough of a tire fire at times that you can actually go ahead and go, see, he's not that bad, guys. And it's this weird, weird thing. And just, wow, what Cleveland is and what they continue to be by choice after they thought that, after we all thought they had a good thing going. To then go back on
they,
it.
They were kind of one of those like lovable teams that like, yeah, they've been bad forever. I mean, they had the of the modern era, the second winless season after Detroit's 07-16 run.
And so Lance and Baker.
Well, they land Baker, but then you know Nick Chubb's really cool out of the gate. Myles Garrett's one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. And there was this feeling like, oh, and Cleveland's also making like LA, New York kind of moves. Like who do they think they are trading for Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes.
You know, they go and get Jarvis Landry. They were cool for a little while.
They were very cool, especially in 2020. And then Baker's got the swagger. It gives you that, you know,
even Baker,
we'll take on the world mentality.
Even Baker's first start, or he got in for an injured Tyrod Taylor. I think he was gotten for an injured Tyrod Taylor. It was Monday Night Football against the Jets. They hadn't won since not even the year prior, the year to prior to that.
Yes.
And I remember like Cleveland was like they had like these Coors Light machines that if they won, they'd open up and be free beer for everybody.
I think it was Bud Light, but yeah.
And Baker just goes out there.
One of those.
He has a receiving touchdown or a 2-point conversion, whatever it was. He's got the cool swag walk again, like to the camera. Like they were cool.
They were cool.
And we they ruined all of it.
But then the Kansas City Chiefs, hey, look at that team. We're always ruining fun things. We could have had a Battle of Lake Erie for the AFC Championship, but no. Chad Henne has to go run for the first down.
Yeah.
And it's like, God,
I remember watching
that
game.
Goofy team in Missouri, stop ruining everything cool.
I do remember watching that game.
Nobody likes you anymore.
Deeply frustrated with the with the Browns, like deeply frustrated.
Because that you want to talk about games that you can look at and go, okay, they could probably win that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not the game after 13 seconds where you have to face Cincinnati. For me, that's Cleveland in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, and you're hosting them,
and you're hosting Cleveland. For the right for one of these two guys from that draft class to go to
the... Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The show.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That would have been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Because you would have gone, 2019 would have been Lamar Jackson winning
MVP. Granted, you're staring at Tom Brady in the face on the other side there, but...
Sure. But, like, it would have been... That draft class, I mean, that would have been documentary worthy alone, right? I still think it's going to be a class that gets, like, the 1980s.
Especially with
treatment.
Darnold's turnaround.
I think Darnold's turnaround has solidified
Mayfield,
for me.
Too, like...
And well, yeah, Mayfield as well. But like, there was an early part there. Yeah, you get 2019. Lamar goes off, wins his MVP, first year of starting the full season because he did not obviously start his rookie season. He got there later. Starts his first full season, wins the MVP. Then 2020, you have Josh Allen's emergence. In the middle of that, you've got Baker becoming something. And ultimately, for most NFL draft classes, if you have three quarterbacks who are playing like clearly going to be franchise guys, that's a home run for.
You've already
class.
Locked up. Like you're one of the better draft classes.
And then you look at how Lamar and Allen. Particularly we're playing, it was like, you have two freaks of nature playing the game. That is Elway Marino.
You have two yearly MVP candidates.
Yep. And then, you know, Cleveland destroys it, but you're right. The recent years, Darnold is going to get a massive contract. We brought up there with Sal how bad.
Interesting to see how he follows up.
How he follows it up. Well, especially, I'm a big Kevin O'Connell guy. I think what he has done for Minnesota is nothing short of spectacular.
Yes.
I mean, what he's been able to do with Kirk Cousins at the end of his career. And then when Cousins was getting hurt last year, Josh Dobbs going in and winning games and stuff like that. His first year there, they kind of snuck in the playoffs and the Giants kind of exposed him a little bit because of the one score games and such. But now, like, they're in a neutral stance. Oh, really fun position. They are going to be one of the coolest teams to talk about in the offseason. Because what do you do? Do you go with Sam Darnold, who finally looks like the prospect everyone liked out of USC. Does still have some of the turnover issues, but the arm talent is clear and the team is winning. And he's going to put up, you know, 4,000 yard season, 32 plus touchdown passes because he's at that now. And they might get screwed into, oh, you're the first 13-win wildcard team. Congratulations. Or, because they've got a really nice run here where you got Green Bay and Detroit, they could still win the North. Let's say, for argument's sake, that happens. They go 2-0 in the stretch. They win the North.
Not just the North. The one seed.
The one seed. Because
they would win the one seed.
It's now looking like Hurts is not going to play again. So now all of a sudden, even they won't even give you a run.
Also, they have the same record the Lions do. Yeah. They win out. It's the one seed.
Yeah. Like, what do you do? You just took J.J. McCarthy.
And you also have the top-tier talent in place. Jefferson's there. Addison's there. Why even bother starting over?
Everything is there, but you took McCarthy in the top 10. And he does, and I'm maybe not the right person to ask about like where I sit with McCarthy and Darnold. I was a huge McCarthy stan. I think him playing at Michigan downplayed what his actual abilities are. I think Michigan asked him to do exactly what he did.
He's
and he did
incredibly guy?
Well. I think he's unbelievable. I think he has all of the talent in the world to be perfect, and I think he's also like what every head coach
also,
wants their QB to be.
He tore his knee.
He did.
That's not an easy thing to come back from away.
And while every report was, it's not that bad, we're not going to say a cleanup job, but it's essentially a cleanup job, he did have to have another surgery in this season.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do? Are you the Jets or the Giants or the Saints or the Titans? Do you try to trade for McCarthy while you let Minnesota spend big money on a quarterback? They're already in that situation now.
Especially since we were talking about this with Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many of those teams need a quarterback?
And they're sitting there going, I don't like Shador. I don't like Cam Ward. I don't like Quinn Ewers. I like McCarthy better than all these guys. I'd rather spend high, get him. He's already sat now for a year especially in a good NFL system. And if his knee's okay, you're getting a really good guy who's gotten to sit, you know, kind of, you know, marinate. That was his biggest issue for me coming out of college.
What about LA?
He was young.
The Rams.
The Rams, yeah.
Because then you can go into a transitionary phase with still having all that talent on the offense and have Stafford ready
to finish
his career,
mm-hmm,
and have McCarthy ready waiting in the wings. And it didn't cost you a high draft pick to do it. Because if you're trading for McCarthy, you're probably giving up a second rounder at that point,
yeah,
or two.
It's like a car leaving a lot. The value deteriorates.
The value
the moment
depreciates.
It leaves a lot.
But even then, even if you pay, like, say, next year's first rounder,
mm-hmm,
it's not a bad price.
Let's not act like the Rams aren't willing to do it.
And it's not going to be in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're solid.
This is the thing.
A solid football team.
I'm a McCarthy guy. So I would keep him because I think he will be better than Darnold. And you'll get him cheaper for a few years.
But if I'm LA and I offer a 2026 first rounder, so that allows a little bit of mystery,
yeah,
of like maybe they fall off the map.
Yep.
But also if I'm the Rams, I'm keeping my first rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's enticing enough. I'm paying enough for it. Or I give you 2 seconds. I would think the Rams want to keep their current picks right now so, mm-hmm, that they can stockpile. But if I offer a 2026 first-round pick to Minnesota, there's a little bit of mystery of, like, that could fall into, like, anywhere at that point. But also, you're getting a return on investment,
yeah,
there still. You're getting a first-round pick back.
I hadn't thought about the Rams as the team that could do it. I kept thinking of teams that, like, just straight-up don't have quarterbacks rather
than... I stared
than...
right at the team sitting in third place in the NFC and going, they wouldn't need to, like, fight their way into a top 10 position.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a guy who was a top 10 pick.
And he's young.
And it suddenly becomes this new mystery. Oh, and by the way, I'm the Rams going, I just traded for J.J. McCarthy, and he's got Sean McVay.
He's essentially running
look
the
what I did.
He would essentially be
Jared Goff.
But not even that. It's not. Let's not act like he's learning a completely new offense.
No.
Kevin O'Connell, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. There's probably different verbiage.
There's wrinkles.
But it can somewhat be considered the same offense. And he's been sitting with O'Connell this whole year.
And it becomes beautiful.
Oh man.
This new sudden reset for the Rams, where they had this like F them picks and all this,
yeah,
other stuff. But guess what? Now you can do that and have a young quarterback and have the talent around him
it. Last thought on this: if they win a playoff game, I think they keep Darnold. I think they keep Darnold.
Yes.
Because I will say the same thing, and I was not in the building when it was happening. I think if the Bills beat the Jaguars with Tyrod, and this is a much different situation, I think they keep Tyrod Taylor. If they beat Jacksonville to win a playoff game that first year, I think there's a really good chance they keep Tyrod and build around him instead of going into the 2018 draft class. Look how
Correct.
Many picks they had to trade up to go get their guys and all that stuff. I think if they won, they would have just, let's build what we've got here.
They also traded a player that was at the time your starting left tackle, and he was solid in Cordy Glenn.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Ross Tucker coming up in just over 10 minutes to join the show, talk a little bit of the NFL season thus far. MVP conversation, of course, as well. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in here for Shope and the Bulldog. This is WGR.